Good morning.
Morning
and happy Father's Day. Through faith in God, we have hope. We have absolute confidence in God and absolute confidence in His Word. This confidence gives us courage to live the Christian way of life. John 16:33 says, "These things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." That's pressure. "But take courage toward mankind and circumstances, because I, the one you have confidence in, have overcome the world at the cross." Welcome to a place of nurturing, a place of reassurance, and a place of sustenance, where you can fill your soul with the truth of the Word of God. Second shift before we study the Word of God is a spiritual shift. You assess your soul condition. If you're a believer in Christ, you can ask yourself at this moment, are you in carnal condition and out of fellowship with God? Or are you in spiritual condition and in fellowship with God? If you examine yourself, you can get back into fellowship if necessary by admitting your known sins to God the Father. And God the Father will then offer you a restoration promise like Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, which says, "Let us, believers in Christ, lay aside every impediment to our advance and the sin nature which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race of our lives that is set before us." So let's take a few moments in silence to fix the eyes of our soul on the Lord Jesus Christ as He gets our souls ready to study the Word of God. The opening song is "Walk in the Light."
For if our esteem is caught up with them, disappointment.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to know the spiritual assets that you have put in place for our education. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and you're listening to Lesson 340 of the Angelic Conflict Series. Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Please stand. In gratitude for all who defend our freedom, and especially in gratitude for military victory from our frontline military personnel, and in honor of law enforcement officers all over the world, especially those who are part of our congregation, we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. A few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is July 8th, 2012. Mark your calendars for next Friday's special Bible class on Friday, June 22nd, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here at the Hyatt Place. Mark your calendars, no Bible class a week from today, next Sunday. The Barah Ministries radio program on KXXT 1010 AM in Phoenix is on Fridays from 4:30 to 5, and it's rebroadcast on myfamilyvaluesradio.net. Click to listen under G, and the program is called God Cares for You. And this week, God wants you to take a biblical tour of the angelic conflict was the broadcast. And so tune in if you'd like. I think it's lesson 13 on the Barah Ministries tabs. Is that right? Prayers are in order for Zachary Clark. He's on holding in process for the U.S. Army at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. He has not shipped out to basic training yet. He's on a processing hold until they can get copies of his medical records, and he's quite upset about it. He has had his mom is bipolar, and he's had some depression in his background, and they just want to make sure he's not a nut job before they send him out to kill dead burnt bodies and all those other things that soldiers do. So I have been talking to him every day, and I told him to take comfort in this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, which is the Lord's message to the church at Philadelphia in Asia Minor. He said, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, know your deeds, and behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. So Zachary is a believer in Christ. He knows how to get in fellowship. He has more doctrine in his soul than most pastors. And if this is an open door, nobody can shut it. And if it is not an open door, he'll get a medical discharge and he'll come home. And either way, he'll be clear, right? So he'll know. And he does not want to come home. And I don't want him to come home. But if that's what God wants him to do, then we know that there is another thing in the plan for him. And so we'll see. But one of the things I told him in addition to this is that, you know, I asked him what has he ever wanted in his lifetime? And he wants this, right? And sometimes God lets us sit and want it a lot. And so he's getting an opportunity to see just how badly he wants this. And he wants it. So it'll be fun. So anyway, keep him in your prayers if you would, please. Also, prayers for my friend Tony LaGrasso, who is going to be undergoing a stem cell transplant shortly. I'd like to just say thanks to Tony, Jennifer, Olivia, and Noel for their hospitality during my visit to their home this week. And here they are, by the way, just so you can get to see what Tony looks like. And so his daughters are awesome. But I had great food with great people in a loving environment. And it was pretty hard to beat. And frankly, I didn't want to leave. And while the food and the conversation were amazing, it was the hugs from Tony's daughters that got to me. They really got to me. And I left their house in a psychotic state. thinking how nice it would be to become a father again and to have a couple of sweet little girls like his. I have since come to my senses, so I'm not going to be requesting any female volunteers to help with this task. But no, seriously, have you ever been hugged by a little girl and you just couldn't get enough of it? She hugged me probably, the little one, Noelle, hugged me about 20 times, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I was thinking, what, could I have another one? You know? And Olivia was hugging me. They're just the sweetest young women. Olivia is very observant and notices every single thing. At dinner, they were asking me a lot of questions about God. And they were actually positive and paying attention. How about that? So it was fantastic. Noelle is very interested in God, but also she's a nice comedian. So she had some pants and she pulled them up around this high, and she got this look on her face, and she was making faces, and just they were just delightful. And I just very loving people. I had a wonderful time. So I've decided to just wait for my granddaughters. So, because God's going to really stick it to Elliot. He's going to give him all girls. Elliot's going to have about 16 girls. But, no, you know, it's funny. My mom, we had her four kids, 10 boys, no girls. So, you know, the next generation's getting all girls. That's just the way it works. And Tony's wife, Jennifer, is every bit a woman. She is a great cook. She's a disciplinarian for the girls, but mostly a solid and loyal back door for Tony. So it was really moving for me to see a real family be a real family. It was very encouraging to me, because a lot of times now when you go into families, you see the husband and the wife chipping at each other and the kids are undisciplined. And this family is just tight-knit, got it together. Very open, fun environment to be in, and I just had a fantastic time. So to the Lagrassos, thanks for a great night, and we're going to continue to pray for you, and we know, Tony, that everything will come through for you in the stem cell transplant. He was telling me about it. It's, you know, they kill all your bone marrow, and then they inject stem cells, and what they're hoping is that the stem cells regrow your bone marrow. And it sounds really scary if we didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ so well, right? Because that's a routine day at the office for him. And so we fully expect that God is going to do his job, do and keep his promises and answer our prayers. Well, the stork is here. Logan Ben Johnston got here on June 10th, 2012. So congratulations to Ben and Rachel Johnston on the addition of the latest member of the Barah Ministries congregation. He weighed in at 7 pounds and 2 ounces. That's not deacon material, but that's not bad. And he's 21 and a quarter inches tall. Congratulations especially to Ben on his first Father's Day. And welcome to Logan. I told him that I'm very good at reading lips, and I told Ben that I'm very good at reading lips, and I was looking at Logan's picture, and I just see his lips forming. Dub Bears. And you know, Ben is a Green Bay Packer fan, so he was very upset with that. He said, "No, I don't think that's what's happening." But he wanted to say that. I just know he did. So, anyway, he is a new generation of Bear fans. Congratulations to Pastor Robert McLaughlin. The Angelic Conflict book is out. Come on, give my pastor a good hand here. Yeah. Now, the book itself, no big deal, but on on page 9... there is a foreword from Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries. That's amazing. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. So when you get the book, you know, you can tear all the other pages out because you really don't need it. We're studying the angelic conflict. But make sure you keep page 9. Page 9 to... No. I am so happy for my pastor because he has been working on this book for 900 years, honestly. And the process of writing a book and getting it edited professionally, a hardcover book especially, and getting it edited professionally and all that stuff, you read it over and over. You can't catch the mistakes. But I opened it up last night about 2 in the morning, and I was just clipping on it. And then I had to put it down and get a quick nap in. But it's really excellent. So by all means, get a copy. As you know, there's no charge for any materials from Grace Bible Church. So it's free of charge to get the books, but they are not without cost. So if you request the books, they will send them to you. But please make sure that you remember that the ministry needs your support in paying for things like this. All right, welcome to our guests. The next thing I'd like to do is take the offering, and guests, this does not apply to you unless you just want to. Let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Alburn to take the offering.
I knew that was going to happen. Not one clap that time. Not one clap. It's just gone downhill. No, I don't need pity claps, okay? I don't need pity claps. I'm good. God provides Bible doctrine through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. Therefore, Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for any Bible doctrine at BarahMinistries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive the Word of God free of charge. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. Elliot spoke a few weeks back about the battle for our children's minds. And I don't have kids, but for some reason this has been sticking with me ever since then. There's not just a battle going on for the minds of children, but there's a battle going on for all of our minds. We're naive to think that Satan stops the moment we turn 18. Satan is arrogant. He still thinks that he's going to pull out a win. And the sad thing is, from his point of view, you know, it makes sense sometimes. Satan deceives the whole world, as it says in Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. We as adults are part of this group called the whole world. Think about it. We take in Bible doctrine like it's a chore, once a day for about an hour. And then on Sundays, we can barely even make it through 3 lessons. When we're bored, we find everything in the world to do, except for studying. We spend over an hour on average every single day in our cars. And instead of listening to Bible doctrine, we're listening to the radio during that time. Now, I'm not condemning any of us. This is coming out this week because God wants us to know that there's not only a battle for the control of the minds of children, but that Satan will use any mind he can get his hands on, including ours. We know that God is black and white. So with this information, we know that we either give control of our mind to God or to Satan. Well, that leads us to a question then, doesn't it? Is the information that is going into our minds at any given point in time either from God or from Satan? Now, I know it doesn't sound like it, but I'm really in the process of saying thank you. I'm saying thank you because it's your donations that give people in this world a place that they can go when they feel themselves losing this battle for the control of their minds. It's your donations that make it possible for people to think with the mind of Christ while they're in the world of Satan. So thank you, and remember to give while in fellowship because this celebrates and honors the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's study, the Creator wants you to know the process of your education in residence. The Creator wants you to know the process of your education in residence. We continue our study of the second of the 21 categories of doctrine that are part of the angelic conflict. All 21 categories begin with the letter C. We're studying the C called Creator. Tick-tock, what time is it on the Creator clock? It is 6 o'clock. God is knowledgeable. The Creator knows about the process that he has put in place for your education while you are in residence. And here's what we mean by residence. Residence is that place that we call the filling of the Spirit. Residence is that place where we are under the instruction of our mentor, God the Holy Spirit, the voice of truth, in a mental fortress, where we are getting our power. We have access to divine omnipotence with the Paraclete, God the Holy Spirit, one who comes powerfully to the assistance of another, with our minister. And what he is teaching us, God the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is not an energy force. He is not airy-fairy, artsy-fartsy concept. He is God, and he is your mentor and teacher. And those are his ministries to you after salvation. He is your mentor, and he is empowering you through the filling of the Spirit to walk the narrow way. And that is the way that leads to the Zoe life. And so your spiritual education begins under the guidance of the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 7, it says so. Turn there, please. John chapter 16, verse 7. And so your residence is a swinging door. You come in and out of the swinging door when you commit personal sins. But here's what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7. He says, "But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you." He's talking to his apostles here in the upper room discourse on the Tuesday night before he was crucified. "But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you, my apostles and my disciples." What is a disciple? It's the Greek word mathetes. It's a technical student. So he's talking to the technical students as well, and that's you. "But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you, my apostles and my disciples, the absolute truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It was to our advantage that he went to the cross, because his work on the cross ensured our strategic victory in the angelic conflict. It is to your advantage that I go away. And if I do not go away, the helper, the Greek word parakletos, the paraclete. A paraclete is one who comes powerfully to the assistance of another. So it's anything but a helper. It's much more like a lawyer, somebody who comes to the defense of another with power, not with a boost on the butt or a helping hand, but somebody who comes with all the resources and the assets to lead you down the road. And so if I do not go away, the helper, God the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, and I do, first class condition if in the Greek, I will send him, God the Holy Spirit, to you. And that's now he was talking to the apostles here. They didn't have the filling of the Spirit at that time. We were in the age of the hypostatic union, the 33 years that Jesus Christ was on the earth, so the church age had not begun. The church age was going to be beginning about 45 days from then. But he was telling them in prophecy that he was going to send the Holy Spirit so that we could be indwelled by the Spirit as church age believers, filled with the Spirit as church age believers, and that the indwelling of the Spirit was going to create a temple inside of us for the indwelling of the entire Trinity, a unique factor of the church age. And so our Creator, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has sent the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, to personally supervise your spiritual growth. Look ahead a little bit in John to John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. So it's about six verses up from where you are. And here's what Jesus Christ continues. He says, but when he, God the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So that tells you some things. By implication, this says there is the truth and there are lies. And you have to be able to discern which is which. There is truth and there are lies. And truth is absolute. Truth is black and white. Truth is not gray. But lies have two shades, black and gray. Well, it's the white lie, right? That's gray. And then an absolute lie. And Satan is too subtle to lie to you in an absolute way. So he nips away at you. He chips away at you with lies. And your soul is the target. And what he wants to do is nip away and get you to believe lie after lie after lie after lie until you have an edifice, a building of lies. And that building of lies that you adopt for yourself into your soul, those things that are lies that you believe, are the things that build your house on sand. And when the floods come and the rains come, it wipes your house out. But see, if you're a believer in Christ, that does not affect your salvation. You're saved once and for all time. But it does affect your life when you keep building up these structures of lies and they keep getting wiped out. And God will come in regularly as you build up these structures of lies and will knock over your Legos and ask you, woman, do you want me to build on the truth? And that's why we come to biblical study, so that we can build into our souls a series of truths. And we're not, I mean, this isn't like sports, where we're looking at our muscles and wondering when, you know, why they aren't built up more. This is subtle. It's supernatural. And you take one thing and the next thing and the next thing, and all of a sudden you have a superstructure, but it's invisible to you. It's just the only way you can tell is when you're making decisions, you start making smarter decisions for some reason when you know good and well in your soul that you haven't gotten any smarter. And you have no conclusion to come to but the fact that God did it by subtly building up these advantages. And you forgot long ago that you were studying something 6 weeks ago that's going to serve you this week. You forgot about it. But then when you get to that point of pressure, you just make the great decision. So when God, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. What does that mean? God, the Holy Spirit, is the voice of truth, who tells you a different story than the lies told in Satan's kingdom. What a great song, the voice of truth. And here's the great thing. There is no merit on your part necessary to learn the truth. You don't have to have any special competence. You just choose to follow the process that the Creator has put in place for your benefit. And it always begins with your volition, because God is not a bully. He is not going to force you to believe, even though He could. He's not going to do it. He's going to honor your volition. And at every step of your growth, it is initiated by your volition. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3 say this: "At that time, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" All right, so you see the apostles. You see these guys. They were a bunch of knuckleheads. He taught them for 3 years and they didn't learn jack. They were learning from the best teacher that exists, just short of God, the Holy Spirit, but they didn't learn anything. And what were they doing? They were competing against one another. He likes me better than you. I don't know. They even would bring their moms in, and their moms would ask Jesus, "You know, which one of the guys is really your guy?" Right? By the way, do you know the answer to that question? Which three guys were his guy? Peter, John, and who? James. I think it was Peter, John, and James. He took them up and showed them how he would look at the second coming. You remember that? Yeah, so they were kind of close. By the way, I've seen that mountain that happened on, the Mount of Transfiguration. It's beautiful. It just looks like Camelback Mountain, though, so it's no big deal. So, at that time, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They were having a competition, and the Lord Jesus Christ called a child to himself, not because they were acting childish. Yeah, maybe because they were acting childish. He called a child to himself, a believer in Christ child, and set the child before them, Matthew 18:3, and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted, the same way this believing child was converted by his own faith, and unless you become like children," which means using non-meritorious perception to learn, "you will not enter the kingdom of heaven in eternity." In other words, what? If you're going to advance in the spiritual life, you have got to act like a child acts. How does a child act when you're teaching them? They do what you tell them if they are positive. So the Lord in this example uses a child because children learn by faith. They put their confidence in the object of their faith, their authority figures, their parents. And when they see they are positive to instruction, they're doing exactly what they're asked to do. They learn by being obedient to authority. So when you are actively obedient to your authority and you come to learn the Word of God, you will passively receive God's gracious provisions. See, that's what I like so much about the salvation verse of Acts 16:31, because it makes it absolutely clear how two volitions work together. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You actively choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens to you? You passively receive from God salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ at a single moment in time, and the result is He saves you forever. John 10:28, "I give eternal life to believers in Christ. They shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Who accomplishes your salvation? A God who does not change. You don't accomplish your own salvation. You wish you were that powerful. You are not. When you say, "Father, I believe in Christ," God the Holy Spirit takes your weak positive signal expressing faith in Christ and makes it effective for salvation. That's called efficacious grace. And then He signs it, which is called the sealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit's signature guarantee that you cannot lose your salvation. He accomplishes it. But if you don't understand that, your advance in the spiritual life is non-meritorious. Your salvation is non-meritorious. It requires no merit on your part. Your advance in the Word of God is non-meritorious. It requires nothing on your part except your active part of saying, "Yes, God, I want to learn." God does the rest. And that's what He's illustrating here in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. That He's got your back believers in Christ. He's going to do everything. And just like that child who counts on him to do everything, that's what you need to do. And you need to stop having a little contest about who do I like better. He likes us all. That's what he was telling his apostles. So, what is the process that God put in place so that you could learn? Take a 5-minute break and I'll tell it to you. Okay, welcome back. So the Creator wants you to know the process put in place for your education in residence. So the first thing is always what? What? Rebound, exactly. Thank you. The first thing you do is rebound. And what does that mean? It means bounce back from carnality. You choose actively to be in fellowship with your God as you learn the truth of the Word of God. And then God passively gives to you so that you receive it, restoration to your residence. So here's what that looks like. You rebound, and then God restores you to your residence. So whenever you commit a personal sin, you're ejected from God's system of power. But when you identify the sin, admit the sin, forget the sin, and move on in the plan of God by claiming one of the restoration promises, he restores you to fellowship. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we believers in Christ admit, name, or cite our known sins to God the Father, he is faithful. That's a third-class condition if in the Greek. If, maybe you will and maybe you won't, there's a choice. But if we do, God the Father is faithful. He always does the same thing when you commit a personal sin. And what is that? He forgets it. As far as the east is from the west, I will not remember your transgressions. He forgets it. Why don't you? So if we believers in Christ admit, name, or cite our known sins to God the Father, he is faithful. He always does the same thing. And he is righteous, free from sin himself, and thus completely qualified to forget our known sins and to cleanse us from our unknown sins as well. He forgives you of the sins that you remember that you commit. He forgives you of the sins that you don't remember that you commit. So that's the first thing. That's part of the process of our education. Second, you choose renewing. What is renewing? You choose to come actively to a congregation to which you have been assigned, whether in a resident manner or a non-resident manner, it does not matter, on a daily basis. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 say this, an epistle from Peter, this is Peter writing his first letter, this is an epistle from Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens. These are Jewish believers that are dispersed all throughout the Roman provinces, scattered throughout, and here are the names of the provinces, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. That means the elect ones. Every believer in Christ is elected to the privilege of highest and best that God planned for you in eternity past. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And we talked about foreknowledge in the last lesson. What is foreknowledge? It's a specialized category of omniscience. God knows all the knowable. He knows all the decisions that you will make in your lifetime. He factors them all in, and he included those in his divine decree. And so foreknowledge knows not only what you would do, but what he allows. So according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, his plan for mankind and his personal plan for you, by the sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit. What is sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit? God the Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, places you into union with Christ. It's called the baptism of the Spirit. And now you are positionally set apart for privileges, a set of privileges that stagger the imagination. That's what sanctification is. You are picked up out of Satan's kingdom and put into a special place for all kinds of privileges. One of those privileges is that at the moment of salvation, God imputes his absolute righteousness to you as your admission ticket to heaven. And what that means is that from now on, every time God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit look at you, they see Christ. They see perfection because you have the absolute righteousness of God. That's one of the reasons why you can't lose your salvation, because nobody with absolute righteousness imputed to them is going to lose their salvation, because God would never turn his back on himself, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think verses 11 to 13. So anyway, renewing is where you come to this congregation. 1 Peter 1, 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit, whereby he sets you apart for privilege to obey the Lord Jesus Christ in response to the gospel message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and be sprinkled with his blood, his substitutionary spiritual death, not literal blood. May grace and peace be yours, that is, put in place by God in the fullest measure. May grace be multiplied to you. Why I wanted you to see these verses is because, specifically for our non-resident congregation, it is not unusual at all that a congregation would have a non-resident congregation. In the first century church, all the congregations were non-resident, and letters, these epistles, would circuit a series of cities on a regular basis, and believers met in houses. And if they didn't meet in houses, they would be killed a lot of times. That's where the Christian fish sign came up. That if you were a Christian and you wanted to communicate with another Christian, you would draw half the fish. And a Christian who would know would draw the other half of the fish. And that's how you knew that you were Christians. And then you could talk about, where the next meeting was going to be, where one of the letters of the apostles was going to be read. Until the bad guys started doing that and killing Christians who were meeting secretly. So what we're talking about right now is your education. What we're talking about is the process that God put in place for your education. Renewing, reception, recognition, retention, and recall. And so we for this portion, the second portion, renewing, have been using the word as a placeholder until we got here. We've been using the word metamorpho. And metamorpho you would recognize as a Greek word from Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but keep on being metamorphosed. Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your thinking. So that is the Greek word metamorpho. But I think there is a better word for us to use here. And so from now on, we're going to use a different word for renewing. We're going to use the word it's so funny because every time I'm sitting by myself and I say these words, they just come out. And then as soon as I get up here, I look at the word and I go, but it's anakinosis. Is that what you just said? Yeah. That's very good. I should have just had you come up and pronounce it for me. You want to come? That's pretty good. He was exactly right. Anakinosis. And so, you looked up there. That's how you knew. I'm wondering, how did he know?
Darn.
I hate when that happens. We had a slide. So what does anakinosis mean? It means to give fresh life to. It means to make new and different. It means to change completely. Here's my favorite. It means to cause to grow up. It means to morph something into a new kind of life. And that is the perfect description of renewing, the renewing work of God the Holy Spirit for the new spiritual species. When we're an unbeliever, we are ruled by the sovereignty of the sin nature and the old self. But as soon as we believe in Christ, this anakinosis, yeah, that's pretty good. Anakinosis happens. Where we are renewed, we are changed into a new spiritual species, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He who is in union with Christ becomes a new spiritual species. The translation that most people use is the new creature. So here's what Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says in the matter of anakinosis. It says, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, saved us once and for all time. You cannot lose your salvation. Here it is. Ook. Not never. The strongest negative there is in the Greek. Not never on the basis of deeds which we have done in self-righteousness. You are not saved by your deeds. You're saved by God the Holy Spirit and His efficacious grace. He stands in for your missing human spirit in common grace. And when you express positive volition, He makes your positive signal effective for salvation and seals you with the sealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit, His signature guarantee. So the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, saved us once and for all time, not never on the basis of deeds done in self-righteousness, but according to His mercy. What is mercy? Grace in action for past errors. By the washing of regeneration, you are born again, polyanasia, and the renewing, anakinosis, by God the Holy Spirit. So you're saved, you're born again, and then it's renewing. Breakthrough, born again, renewing, line on line, precept on precept, order on order, a little here, a little there. The edifice born, built in your soul through truth. Third part of the process. So it's rebound, it's renewing. Third part of the process is reception. You actively hear the word of God as it's being taught. The word for reception is logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos, which is a reference to Jesus Christ, by the way. Jesus Christ is the living word, and his thinking is the written word. So God the Holy Spirit teaches your assigned pastor, and your assigned pastor illuminates the written word of the canon of Scripture for you. You may recognize the next four verses. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is piercing, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. Theonoustos, God-breathed, it does not come from man. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's private interpretation, and no prophecy of Scripture was ever made by an act of human will, but men, carried along by God the Holy Spirit, spoke directly from the exact thinking of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore we study to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen, who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. So, this portion of the of your education is reception. You put yourself in a position to get the word of God implanted. Fourth, you choose recognition. You think about the instruction, and so here's that, pop that slide up for real quick. So the renewing is you coming to the information. Reception occurs when you take it in. And now, fourth, we're on recognition. You think about the instruction you're hearing and actively understand the Word of God as it's being taught. This is simply comprehension of the Word of God in the left lobe of the soul. It's academic understanding. And the Greek word is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says this, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom, that's Sophia, we'll see that later, and gnosis, knowledge of God, the academic understanding of God. How unsearchable are his mandates, how unfathomable his ways. So as you endeavor to understand what is being taught, God the Holy Spirit's job is to make what's being taught understandable to you. You don't have to make it understandable to yourself. The study of the Word of God is supernatural. It is not academic. So a lot of you are big phonies. And as big phonies, you're always berating yourself for some academic flaw that you have. Oh, I'm the kind of person who, I don't like reading books. Come on. Oh, well, see, I'm the kind of person, I don't like taking notes. Come on. See, I'm the type of person who I don't know, I always had trouble in school. I hated school. Come on. But you don't get to pull that off. You're not going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and tell him that the reason there's no truth in your soul is because you had an academic problem. Because he's going to say, the filling of the Spirit takes care of all academic problems. Because the filling of the Spirit is supernatural. See, what I did, see what had happened is I, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave you access to divine omnipotence through the filling of the Spirit so that it would help you get over your academic problems. Amen? And you're going to say, Badia, 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 Badia. Oops, that excuse didn't work. It worked with humans. Doesn't work with God. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you can understand all things spiritual, so there's no copping out by comparing your academic incompetence to a spiritual failure. I'm not a good student. No, you're misusing your volition because God the Holy Spirit is a great teacher. Fifth, you choose retention. You choose actively to remember what you learn. You believe what you have understood, whether you agree with it or not. I don't believe you heard me. So let me repeat that. Let me back it before we stack it. Amen? You believe what you heard, whether you agree with it or not. Amen? Amen? Amen, amen, Matt? Amen. I hear you say nothing, bro. Whether you believe it or not, the truth is the truth. T-R-O-O-F. The truth is the truth. It is. I can snort on that, too. It's the truth. See, a lot of times when we get truth, we don't want to believe it because it indicts some part of our lives. And we're not ready to give that part of the cosmic system up. But you're not going to be successful in your residence in the cosmic system. You're not going to be successful building a lie onto your soul. And see, God always, on a routine basis, shakes those things that can be shaken. And the lies are always the things that shake out. And then all that's left there is truth. That's what happens in congregations a lot of times, too. There will be divisions in congregations, so the ones of you who are phonies will be proven to be phonies, and you'll leave. That always happens. So we don't worry about it. You know, it's just God shakes out the phonies. He's going to shake out the phoniness in your soul as well. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Fifth, you choose retention. So I told you that, didn't I? You choose actively to remember what you learn. You believe what you learn. That's right, whether you agree with it or not. Here's Romans 10:2. It says, I, Paul, testify about the Jews, that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with epignosis knowledge of the truth. What is epignosis knowledge? Truth believed. So gnosis is academic knowledge. I understand what you're saying. And then when you say, and I believe it, epignosis. Epignosis goes right to your memory center and stays there forever. And this was a funny thing about the time when Zachary went off and became a complete knucklehead. So for about 3 years, my older son and I didn't talk. And at that time, he went off to be a complete knucklehead. He went off to check out whether his plan worked. And that's what all kids do. And that's always the time that parents should look forward to. You train up a child in the way they should go, and then you let them run off and do their own plan. And all the little cocky ones who think, oh, you're whack. You know, you're whack. I know what I'm doing. I don't have to listen to you. Life is always ready for them. Yeah, come on, baby. Come on. Let me teach you. Come on. So he went out, and life kicked him around, right? But during one of those times when he was having some trouble, I went down to see him at school. And what did I do? I had 3 Bible lessons with him. And you know what I found out? All that truth was still right there. It was still right in place. And that just shot the doctrine of reversionism right in the butt. Right? Oh, no, you can backslide, and then you go backwards in the plan, and you forget all the doctrine. No, it's there. God the Holy Spirit's not weak. He's omnipotent. He puts it there. It stays there. Now, if you don't access it, that's another thing. It's there. And every doctrine was there. And I left there comfortable. It was, okay, you want to do this, knock yourself out. But the truth is there. Anytime you need to reach for it, because it's there. And that's amazing. And so parents, you just need to relax. You do your kids the favor of putting in the truth, and it will be there. Because God the Holy Spirit knows what he is doing for your believer children. And when they get out and find out that their plan is no plan, what will still be there is all that truth that you brought them to. So don't require their permission. Don't require their assent. Just bring them to the truth. Now, when you believe what you're learning, it's available for use under pressure. Otherwise, it's merely academic. Hebrews 5:14 says this, solid food is for the mature. Babies choke on solid food, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's what parents are trying to teach kids, how to discern good and evil. Parents aren't stupid enough to think that you aren't going to do stupid stuff. Parents did stupid stuff. All we hope is that you can discern what's good and what's evil. All we hope is that you don't lead yourself to the slaughter. But we know you will on occasion. And what we want you to know is we're going to be right there to pick you up, to give you a snuggie, and pick you up and stand you back up on your feet. Finally, recall. Under the outside pressures of adversity and prosperity and impending physical death, you actively choose to use what you have learned. And then God delivers you from your afflictions. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 say this. My message, this is Paul talking. He's telling them the same thing I told you when I gave you the burn the ships message. He says, my message and my preaching, in other words, my eloquence, were not in persuasive words of wisdom, Sophia, but in demonstration of God, the Holy Spirit's power, the power of the omnipotence of the filling of the Spirit, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but that your faith would rest on the power of God. What's he telling them? I'm not a motivational speaker, and this is not a motivational speak. Please don't be confused just because I have charisma. That's a Greek word. Amen? Don't be confused because I have charisma, because I'm not being persuasive. I'm using the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, human Sophia, rationalism, empiricism, the mind as the criterion for reality. If I don't see it, feel it, touch it, smell it, and taste it, it doesn't exist. But in those things taught by God, the Holy Spirit, through faith, placing your confidence in the object of your faith, in this case, Christ, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So, education. What I want you to see in this section of our study of the 10 R's that God puts in place to make you great recipients of his knowledge is that God has put everything in place. He saved you. He put that in place before he made you. He put in the residence to transform you. He put in restoration to help you recover from your sinning, which he knew you were going to do. And he put in a complete process for your education. And you need to learn it. Take it seriously and use it, and then you will be amazing. A person that is after God's own heart, a person who is exceedingly and abundantly, who has exceeding and abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. That was stupid. I coughed and then turned off the mic. That was great. So the closing song is Take My Hand.
Listen up, beloved children. Hear what the Spirit has to say. The Christian way of living, that's the way life is lived, a specific way. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Your sin.
Ernest, don't go looking for that song on iTunes, okay? Because she wrote that song, and she made up the musical tune in her head, and she doesn't read a lick of music. Amen?
Amen.
You are the strangest person I have ever met. No, isn't that amazing? And one of these centuries, real soon, we're going to have her third CD out. And everybody's going to get to enjoy. That's one of the songs on it. So, Take My Hand. That's an awesome song. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because he cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy. To the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for putting a process in place for our education. And thank you for all the things you do to lead us out of the darkness into your marvelous light. And I pray that people all over the world can hear this message and take advantage of the process so that they might grow by means of grace in the knowledge of you and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.